I'm Kate Botello.
I'm David Castleman, and you're listening to The Green Room, a weekly conversation about arts and culture from Interlochen Public Radio. It's summer here at Interlochen Center for the Arts, which means it's time to wear the traditional uniform of blue on blue, otherwise known as blueberry season.
And we look great.
I'm pretty sure we're the only public radio people in uniform. It's a tradition that goes back to the early days of Interlochen. It's really more about culture than fashion, with the possible exception of Kate, who has somehow found a way to look chic.
Will I try? I mean, after all, seriously, fashion is all about variety and change. There's always a new look, new style, new colors.
Behind the scenes, though, clothes are basically made the same way.
Oh, yeah. So measure, fold it, pin it, iron it, iron it again and again.
Exactly. But there's a Traverse City seamstress who has a different approach. She calls it responsive sewing. IPR's Linda Steffen recently caught up with Yana D.
In some ways, Yana D's business is a real throwback. Gift certificates are typed up the old-fashioned way. Everything is made by hand. Custom orders are easy.
This is one of my machines that has a bit of an older motor. It's not one of the new fancy clutch motors that makes no noise, so gives a nice hum.
But if her work is a throwback, it's also thoroughly modern, with lots of wrap skirts and dresses.
That's a skirt.
Yana D has tossed aside a lot of your grandmother's sewing techniques.
I've been teased a lot by other sewers. I don't use pins. I don't use an iron very often. I don't use patterns the same way that most sewers, traditional sewers, use patterns.
Edges at the cuff or the collar are often left rough cut, raw, slightly uneven, and unsewn. And she's been known to cut as she sews.
Fun way to be able to almost design as you sew sometimes.
Seamstress Petra Tank says she had to learn a whole new technique when she started working with Yana D.
You sort of have to adjust your way of being to flow with the sewing machine and have that flow with the material as well to get it to do what you want it to do, which is very different from what I've done before.
It's very different from, say, a button-down shirt with pockets and dozens of pieces of fabric cut out and pinned and ironed and sewn and stitched into shape. But to Yana D, the key to her style is not the sewing. The sewing is a response to her fabric, following the way the fabric wants to move and drape.
A lot of this just came in. Really excited about the hemp organic cotton stripes and some beautiful organic cotton, really rich berry tones.
Organic fair trade fabrics would have been too expensive when Yana D was first starting out as a traveling artist. Back then, she scrounged for salvage materials.
In just that time period, there was so much amazing linens and fine cottons that people were getting rid of. Really beautiful kind of vintage prints and solids. And so I would sift through the thrift stores in our journey back and forth and across the country and came up with literally thousands of yards of fabric.
This is how she built her name and her brand, Yana D. Back then, she was sewing out of her truck, traveling the craft fair circuit, setting up and tearing down often in rain and mud. Today, she has a storefront in Traverse City's high rent downtown. For The Green Room, I'm Linda Steffen.
Okay, David, listen to this. This is Michael Coonrod playing Reflections in the Water by Debussy. Michael is a renowned concert pianist and a beloved and gifted mentor to the hundreds of piano students he's taught here at Interlochen Arts Academy. A few weeks ago, he had a terrible accident.
I wasn't in as much pain as I was anguish, thinking, I'm going to lose this finger. I hope I won't.
Despite doctors' best efforts, Michael lost the ring finger on his right hand. Now take a minute and imagine what that means to a pianist.
I really can't.
Yeah.
But his friends and some of his fellow artists have a pretty good idea. they immediately started a fund online. The campaign went viral, and within 5 days had raised more than $18,000.
And when they gathered together to present it to Michael, he didn't understand why they did it.
I thought there's some kind of fund, and I thought, fund? I have a salary, I have a job, I have insurance, and I'm not dead.
But then he learned what the money was for. A commission for a nine-fingered piece, or a left-handed piece, written by any composer he chooses.
It's not just for me, I mean, it helps the world out, because we need more music for left hand, because there's so many people who get messed up in the right hand. Usually it's not the other way around, because there's a third more notes in the right hand, so people get tendonitis on their right hand. That's just overwhelming. Gosh, to think about that there's could be the birth of a really fine piece for orchestra or chamber music or solo, it makes people have some kind of ownership of this project.
Now, in a weird coincidence, Michael has been fascinated with left-handed pieces for years. In fact, he's even brought in Leon Flesher, a pianist who'd lost the use of his right hand, to teach his students about that experience.
Now, what are the odds that God would say, learn that Chaconne by Bach 3 years ago for the left hand alone, a major work, and Scriabin's D-flat Nocturne, the best pieces in the repertoire. And I learned them after my heart surgery, 5 minutes at a time. And that I would play them again in 3 years.
Surrounded by loved ones, his hand still bandaged, Michael had an announcement of his own to make. He'll play those left-handed pieces at the opening of Interlaken's Piano Institute June 20th.
After that, Michael is taking the summer to heal, and then he's going to get going on that commission. This is The Green Room from Interlaken Public Radio. The show this week was produced by Brock Moorman and Michael Culler. Sally Isley is our executive producer. I'm David Castleman.
I'm Kate Botello. See you next time.